Good evening, everybody. Thank you for joining us in immersion in Tefillah, a deeper perspective on our prayers. We are holding by the first of the Birchas HaShachar, which in the Nusach, which I have in front of me, is a note from the Sechav Yivina Lavchim Ben Yom Ben Laila, that Hashem gives understanding to the rooster to know between day and night. I think it's important to have a little preface. Last time we talked a little bit about awe of Hashem, reverence for Hashem, oversimplified in translation to be fear of Hashem, but we're not talking here about fear of punishment, but rather holding Hashem in proper reverence and awe, recognizing the awesomeness, the greatness, the incredible power of Hashem, that He is the one who gives us our very existence every instant, and if even for one instant He would not, Chas v'Shalom, will us to exist, that we wouldn't. So the very power of our own existence every instant is what can motivate us to serve Hashem truly out of awe. Today I'd like to spend a few minutes on love of Hashem. When it comes to love, we ask, well, what do you love? So one person might say, I love gefilte fish. But really, you don't love gefilte fish, because if you really loved gefilte fish, you wouldn't eat it. There was that gefilte fish swimming nicely and calmly in the sea. And because you love gefilte fish, therefore, someone had to catch it and fry it up and serve it to you. And that gefilte fish no longer has a life. So if you really love the gefilte fish so much, why would you take away its life? So clearly, loving gefilte fish is really just an expression of loving myself. It's I love eating gefilte fish. I don't really love the gefilte fish. But when it comes to Hashem, of course, we're not eating Hashem. We are engaged in a relationship in which we realize how much we desire to be with Hashem, to be connected to Hashem. And of course, there's many, many levels of love of Hashem. There's a level in which we love Hashem because it feels wonderful. There's a level of Hashem that we love Hashem because we want to give everything to Hashem. That is to say, the first level of love is what we want to get out of the relationship. We love being close to Hashem. It makes us feel so good. But really, again, this is really a love for ourselves. Although we're not eating Hashem, in this case, the way we ate the gefilte fish, but nevertheless, we're in that level of love, really using Hashem for our own enjoyment. A higher level of love is a selfless love, where we are not in it for what we get out of it, but rather a love for Hashem because we want to give to Hashem. We want to give everything that we have and everything that we are to Hashem. And of course, these are loves of a lofty level, and they don't come easily. They only come to those who are fortunate enough to achieve them through lots and lots of hard work. But I think it's at least important to think about the concept of loving Hashem, just as important to think about the concept of having reverence and awe for Hashem as a foundation for our davening. That is to say that our davening is not to be merely a shopping list. Okay, I want this, 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 and this, and this, and this. Here again, this is not really serving Hashem. This is more serving ourselves. And although, of course, we're asking for those things, hopefully because there's a mitzvah to ask for those things, but we have to be careful not to stray into the territory of davening in a way which is absent of a service of Hashem. That is to say that our davening should be a time that we connect to Hashem as His servant, rather than as Him being our servant, Chas v'Shalom. Okay, servant, give me this, give me this, give me that, and when you're finished with that, give me this, this, and the other thing. Of course, we don't want to have a relationship with Hashem that has such a character. We want Hashem to be the object of our love, the object of our awe and reverence, and that our davening should be part of a process of giving ourselves over to Hashem. As, for example, when we say the Shema, is really accepting the yoke of heaven, as Gemara puts it. Accepting that we are here to serve Hashem. Okay, in any case, let's take a look now at the first of the Birchat HaShachar. And after we go through it briefly, I'd like to introduce a general concept behind our serving, our davening to Hashem, which has to do with our service of Hashem. In a different direction than what we've spoken about so far, that is, love and awe of Hashem, rather in the direction of what we are actually supposed to be doing here in general in terms of serving Hashem, our neshama being sent down to this world for what purpose. Okay, but first let's go through briefly the first of the Birchat HaShachar, and in the Nusach I have in front of me, as I said, it's HaNotel Nusach V'Yivina L'Avchim Ben Yom V'en Laila. But again, we start at the beginning of the bracha, and we shouldn't be thinking by each bracha, ditto, 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 ditto. That is to say, okay, we already said Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam. We have to say it again. So, okay, turn off the mind for those six words, and then let's see what's the chiddush, what's the new thing. But rather, each time that we say Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, it should be a deeper Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam. That is, we should be more immersed into it and thinking more deeply about it and connecting more deeply with all the ideas we mentioned above in the previous shiurim. So Baruch Ata Hashem. Baruch again comes from the word Barech, to draw down, as we had recently in the parsha, the story of Eliezer, when he came to the well in Chaye Sara, and he actually was there as a shliach of Abraham to make a shidduch. And the first thing that we learn is that he caused the camel to kneel down. The word barech was used. So from this we see that the word baruch has to do with drawing down. We're trying to draw down godliness here into this world. Ata, we said, this is you, the very essence of Hashem beyond the name. Then the first name of Hashem, Yud and He and Vav and He, which is Hashem as He transcends time, HaYehovah V'Yiyah, was, is, and will be, are the same letters as Yud and He and Vav and He. That is Hashem as He transcends time and space. Elokeinu, related to the word Elokim, which is Gematria HaTeva, Hashem as He encloses Himself in nature. Nature is miraculous as it is, but it's really nature. That is to say, it's something which is in the order of the usual. And this is the place where Hashem is hidden. The natural world is a place where everything seems to run according to nature and rules and science. And therefore, it's a place where Hashem is very much hidden. And the idea of a Jewish person is to draw down godliness, which is above nature, into nature, to reveal Hashem here in our world. Melech HaOlam, King of the world, that we want to reveal Hashem as the one who is ruling the world, as opposed to the way it may seem and does seem, and it's even arguable. Unfortunately, or fortunately, that's our mission, to prove that Hashem is really the essence of the world, the true essence of the world. And as we mentioned before, that Ha'olam relates to the word Helam, Helam Beheser, hidden, place where godliness is hidden. Okay, so this is, in general, what we're supposed to be thinking about at the beginning of our bracha, that our job is to draw down godliness, even the very essence of godliness, indicated by the word Ata, you, and down into the level of godliness which transcends nature but still is relevant to nature, at least. And then into Hashem as it clothes in nature, and to reveal Hashem as Melech HaOlam, the true master and creator of the world. Now, what are we thanking Hashem for now that we've addressed him? And we've hopefully thought about the significance of this process of drawing godliness down into the world through our tefillos. Anoisin l'sech vivina, who gives to the rooster understanding, l'havchin ben yoyim levin laila, to discern between day and between night. On the simplest level, here, this is a blessing which was written in the times of simpler days when one did not awake in the morning to one's cell phone or even alarm clock, but the average person woke up to the day with the crow of the rooster, cock-a-doodle-doo, and it was still probably nighttime, the rooster starts crowing before real daylight. And therefore, one of the first things that will enter one's mind is the awareness of the rooster, and that Hashem gives the rooster the understanding to be able to discern between day and night. That daytime is now coming, nighttime is now over, and this way, we also are able to wake up, and we are able to recognize that Hashem gives this ability of discernment to the rooster. But if that was the only meaning of the bracha, then it would be kind of one-dimensional. We see something amazing in the world, that a rooster somehow or another has the ability to tell between day and night and gives voice to that. And we say, thank you, Hashem. And this is, of course, very true. It is really a wonderful thing that we see that. However, the bracha has a deeper meaning as well, deeper meanings. One of the explanations of the word sechvi is that it goes beyond indicating a rooster and has a reference to a human being. And therefore, following this line of interpretation, we are saying to Hashem, thank you that Hanoisen, that he gives, and it's a present tense that Hashem constantly gives to, well, the rooster in the simple sense, but on this deeper level to the human being, understanding to discern between day and between night. And here we are referring to the symbolic day and night, day being light and goodness, night being the opposite, lack of light. That which is dark usually symbolizes something which is evil. And a person is given the ability to discern between good and evil, between day and night, between revelation of godliness and the lack of revelation of godliness. And this indeed sets us on our path of service of Hashem for the day. That in general, what is Torah mitzvahs? It's a path by which we think, speak, and act in a good way and not a bad way. In a way of light, not a way of darkness. We are, so to speak, daytime workers. That is, the day workers. Day workers, our job is to bring day, light, godliness, goodness, kindness into the world, and push away the opposite, push away that which is dark, that which is evil, that which is destructive. And as we know, expression, a little bit of light pushes away a lot of darkness. Interestingly, you can have an entire dark room, pitch black, and light one little match, and suddenly the light lightened the whole room. not a big light in the whole room, but the darkness is pushed away. A little light pushes away a lot of darkness. Seemingly, if not for this rule, we would think if I light a match and it makes a light approximately the size of the match, then the darkness would be pushed away in that circle. But we see it's not so, that a little bit of light pushes away a much, much greater, disproportionately greater amount of darkness. Fine. So the bracha is telling us, besides the simple meaning, which is of course significant enough, that Hashem creates these creatures with such abilities to tell between day and night and so forth. The bracha is also teaching us about our mission, that we as human beings must begin by discerning between that which is day and that which is night. And of course, Torah is our guide, our one and only guide in this way, which teaches us what is day and what is night. And indeed, in our world today, in Taf Shin Ayin Tas, we see that it can be extremely confusing to be able to tell between day and night. That there are many examples of people and ideas which purport to be day and are really night, or seem at first to be night and are really day. And it takes sometimes tremendous effort to be able to discern what is really day and what is really night. And how can we be sure of what is day and what is night? That comes from Torah. Torah is our guide in every single situation that can possibly be. And how can it be that Torah can cover every situation? After all, there's new inventions all the time. There's new ideas all the time. How could it be that Torah that was given 3,333 years ago is able to give us clarity and new ideas? Of course, the answer is that Hashem created the world using the Torah as a blueprint. As the Midrash says, that Hashem looked into the Torah and from there created the world. And therefore, there's nothing in the world that does not come about through Torah, through Hashem looking in the Torah to create the world. And therefore, there's no possibility that there could be something which is so new that Torah wasn't there first. And therefore, Torah always has an opinion. No matter what the invention is, no matter what the situation is, whether it is dependent on this technology, the other technology, or this discovery or that discovery, Torah always has direction for us. Torah always has guidance. It may take a certain amount of time for the community of Ravs to understand a particular issue and to apply Torah principles to it. But when that happens, then Torah will paskin. This is mutter, this is usser, this is how we should do that, and this is how we should do this. Now, what is it actually that we are here to do? What is it that's really actually our mission here in this world? So one way to understand this is from the story of Eliezer. Eliezer was the person who Avram sent to make the shidduch between Yitzchak and Rivka. Yitzchak was an oila tamima. He was the peak of holiness. He was not even permitted to leave Eretz Yisrael because he had the status of a carbon. He was ruchnius shebaruchnius. Whereas Rivka grew up in an evil place, an evil father, an evil brother, an evil community. As the Gemara tells us, she was a rose among thorns. And Eliezer's job was to bring together this neshama, spirituality, and Rivka was more a product of this world. of not a holy place. And so too, a Jew in general has the responsibility to bind together, to unite together the spiritual and the godly with the physical and that which does not appear to be godly. Hashem creates a world in which he is not in clear evidence. One can easily imagine that Hashem, Chas V'Shalom, is not in this world. And our job is to bring holiness into the world, to bring godliness into the world, to reveal the godliness which is in the world. And therefore, our davening reminds us of this constantly. Why is it so important to have constant reminders, seemingly this reminder and that reminder? Each one of these brachas we'll see relates to our spiritual mission. Very simply, because it's very easy to forget, since we are human beings. We are flesh and blood. Therefore, our tendency is to go in the direction of flesh and blood, to go in the direction of the body and its desires. And in fact, a person with his or her desires, physical desires and coarse desires, will go much, much lower than an animal. An animal with its desires remains within the zone which Hashem assigned to it. A lion who has the nature of wanting to hunt animals will nevertheless hunt only what they need. They'll hunt, they'll kill, they'll eat, and they'll go to sleep until they have to hunt again. Whereas human beings have the ability, unfortunately, to act upon their animalist desires and not stop, to go further and further and lower until they could create absolute havoc in the world, absolute cruelty, and as we have unfortunately seen recently in times of the Holocaust, and more recently until today, people who conduct themselves in a way far worse than any animal. Animals do not kill for joy. They do not kill for personal power. They do not kill for false ideologies. They kill because they have to kill in order to eat. Whereas a human person can actually go far, far lower than an animal. And therefore we'll find in our davening, as we proceed further through Birchat HaShachar and through all the parts of the davening, that we are reminded many times over and in many, many different ways, myriad and myriad of ways, and on deeper and deeper levels, of our mission to be a unique creation, that we are made up of a soul and a body. We are made up of that which is the highest, the loftiest, the soul. Nefesh Hashenis Bishrol, Echelok Elokam Elam Mamash, the second soul of the Jew, the godly soul of the Jew, is truly a part of Hashem above. And then that's combined with the body, which is not only part of our world, but can sink far, far further below the level of the way nature works. So we are taking the highest and combining with the lowest, just like Yitzchak was from such a high and holy background, the son of Avraham and Sarah, an Oila Tamima, born miraculously, never left Eretz Yisrael. And the Shidduch with Rivka, who, although of course she was holy, she was a tzaddikah, but she was Bas Rasha, and from a place of Yeshua. And so too, we are to take godliness, which we have a connection to, and the world, which we have a connection to, and to bring them together, to reveal godliness in our world. And so in this bracha, we learn that we have the ability to discern between good and evil, between day and night, between godliness and the opposite. And therefore, because we have that ability to discern, we can now go further into accomplishing our mission. Thank you very much for joining me. And until next week, all the best.